Hi everyone, we've been meaning to record podcasts and haven't gotten around to them just yet. There's been a lot going on in our personal lives and, you know, as any families who have children with SEND or who have special educational needs and disabilities themselves will understand, there is always something to do. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that our life doesn't look like the lives of many people around us. And so, for example, I've just done bed routine. And, you know, our bed routine looks very, very different to most families. And I won't go into great detail right now, but it's just very different. And then people judge you that it, again, is somehow that they're superior and they're doing something better than you, when really it's just that we're all different. And that's not me trying to take away from them either, because I have, you know, friends and family who don't have the same issues, obviously, because their children are not experiencing the same difficulties developmentally and all that kind of thing, and things with anxiety and such like. But I'm not taking away from their actual parental competence, because they're really great parents. You know, everything they've put in and all the effort they've put in with their children, they're getting back what they kind of, like, people would say they deserve. But what's really tricky when I hear statements like that, because I've heard that a few times, that it's what they deserve because of what they put in, it can be really insulting to parents like me, very hurtful and very cutting, because actually we put in so, so much. And our children are, as I've said before, so loving and polite, and they're just wonderful people. But obviously they do have challenges, and life is not straightforward. And we've discussed on the page recently how you get very parent-shamed if you say anything negative about your children. Now, I'm not really in the game of criticising the children, because they're actually very awesome. But because they do experience challenges, and because they are different, we get a lot of unhelpful things said to us and a lot of very unpleasant attitudes from outside. And that's where the problem really comes from. What's made me record this right now is, you can probably tell I'm absolutely exhausted. I'm on my own at the moment. My husband is away with work and, you know, I'm struggling. Now, I'm the main kind of, I'm the primary caregiver, so I do the majority of things. But obviously, like, he's actually changed his work routine in order to help me. Now, I have a chronic illness, so that is in part why he went to work and to see if he could help in some way. But it does go beyond that. It's also the fact that our children, again, they're very, very challenging. And people are probably sat there thinking, well, in what way? But it's so hard to sit here and define in this moment. But everything, with PDAs in particular, is very long and drawn out. And of course you have to try and do things like indirect demands and be a bit more laid back about bedtimes and things like that, but it varies from day to day. There's no consistent approach. And you know, I've spoken to some parents of PDAs who don't have the same level of challenge I do, and I've spoken to other parents of PDAs who have, you know, far more challenges than we do. So and again, it varies from day to day. There are so many factors that contribute to how your children are going to tolerate, you know, a particular task, quite frankly. But I am going to put my hands up and say that this evening has been particularly difficult, and I have actually lost my patience several times and shouted and actually made one of my children cry. And I know some people will say, there's nothing wrong with shouting. I mean, it's not my go-to, but I'm human. And I kind of wanted to check in and just remind people, actually. I thought, you know, I give all this advice on the page, and sometimes you feel fraudulent in these moments, because you think, oh, you know, I've really done everything wrong. I advise all these things and then I've done everything wrong this evening. And, but like I said, I think it's really important to acknowledge the rough with the smooth, and to acknowledge that, you know, I am human and nobody can get it right all of the time. Even when you have the theory, there are other factors that are also going to come into play with your patience levels. And I got to a point this evening where there was none left. And I feel really upset actually telling you this now, because I'm now replaying some of the interactions and seeing my son get really distressed. And, you know, he was already very heightened and very escalated. He'd already had a really tough day at school. And I'm trying to be that safe space for him, and I'm trying to reduce the demand. But I just couldn't cope. You know, I've got my own sensory difficulties, and it was just getting very, very difficult. So I'm not making excuses, because, you know, I know that how I reacted was wrong. But the only thing I always try and make sure I do before they go to sleep is, if there has been any upset whatsoever, we try and mend it. And so I've been in with my apologies and my hugs, and I've explained that mummy, you know, got it wrong, and I explained why. And, you know, we talked about what I could do next time. So it's just trying to use every opportunity as a learning one, I suppose. But then it made me go deeper. So why did I lose it this evening? Yes, there was the auditory sensitivity. It was just I was overloaded from the noise. But the actual truth was I have a family member coming this evening because I'm on my own. They're coming to help me out, which is just so lovely. But with that has come a level of demand and pressure, and it's particularly around the house. I think I've said before, I have family members who are very extreme and very obsessive with their cleaning and tidying, and my house is never ever going to be like theirs, and I'm never ever going to meet that standard. Internally, I would love to, and I think all of this stuff was just starting to overwhelm me, to be honest. I've been in meetings most of the day, and like I said, it's been quite tough. I have one child at home full time, and he's been very, very difficult of late. My youngest is very escalated and having a lot of difficulties at the moment as well. I wonder if it's because he's at school and, you know, they're nearing the end of term and I think he's very tired. Oh, so many reasons, isn't there? But there's definitely been a change in the home environment over the last week or so. It's been very, very difficult. And then I actually reacted to my COVID booster and have been really poorly. Daddy's been really poorly and working an awful lot. So I just think all these things combined, it's kind of riled us all up, is the only way I can explain it. But I was thinking, you know, what is it? Why am I getting so impatient about them getting ready for bed? Like, you know, my youngest son, he flits between wanting to get himself ready, wanting to be left to do it in his own time, and then wanting me to be there to do it all for him. So you really don't know from one day to the next what to expect with him and what his preferences will be. And generally speaking, I can kind of control the situation through the methods and approaches that I use, because, you know, I know how to encourage him, but also how to reduce the demands. And it is so important that you do that. And sometimes I get it wrong. There have been times I've been impatient and said, like, oh my gosh, please just hurry up. And you just can't say that to children like them. And I hated it when people did it with me, and I still don't like it. So, you know, we all make mistakes. But so, yeah, what tonight was it that set me off? It was literally the demand and expectation of having to get them ready and then get my house in order before this person comes over. And the saddest part is I know that this person isn't going to really give me, you know, they're not going to judge me because they understand my situation, and they're the first to always say to me, you know, I understand why you can't get this done and that done. But I'm really sensitive because throughout my life, and I've been told I'm lazy and I have no standards. And my husband has been told he's lazy and has no standards. And, you know, we've talked on the page about him. He has a lot of executive function issues. We didn't know about this until we learned he had ADHD and that he was autistic. And as with so many people and so many adults like us, you just start to learn about yourself and why you've struggled with things that other people just found easy and that people have criticized you for. So we're able to kind of be a bit more accepting of ourselves in our own environment, if that makes sense. But then when people come inside the environment, which is rare because we don't really socialise with people if we can help it, to be honest. But when people are coming into your space, it then adds this really huge, huge wave of anxiety, this huge level of anxiety. And like I said, this individual knows my life is tough and is the first to say it, that, you know, I've got two children who are very challenging. They're the only member of our family who ever have the children and can have the children because they understand their needs. It's tricky because it sounds like you're insulting other people, but we just can't trust people with them because at the moment they're difficult in a number of ways. And people don't always take seriously what we tell them. Oh, they'll be fine. No, they won't be fine. And you can't take the risk, especially with children who don't see danger, who are unpredictable, who are impulsive. So we just feel very isolated. I think I've shared that several times before. We do feel very isolated. But that's not to say that we don't have lovely family and friends, because we do. But we don't really interact with anybody now. We have a couple of people who we interact with regularly, and everybody else is an occasional thing, really, because we just can't be involved in people's lives in that way because it's too difficult. And again, I'm sure people are thinking, well, I want specifics, but it's so so hard, so detailed, so wearing to go into right now. And I'm really sorry, I just can't. But it's just, believe me, it's, you know, tough. And then you'll have people say, oh, you know, stop whinging about your children, be grateful. I'm beyond grateful for my children. I think they're awesome. I love them so much. And the other night I nearly just posted, oh my gosh, my kids are so awesome. They really are. But like I said, I think we're happier when we're just left to it, really, in some sense. Just takes a lot of the stress away. But tonight I've sat down to record this because I've needed to sit down and have a drink of water. And I'm beating myself up mentally for sitting down, partly because I do struggle once I've sat down to get back up and carry on. But I will force myself. But it's, again, it's the history of unhelpful comments. And I know people didn't know we were autistic and, or, you know, I suppose neurodivergent because we've got so many other things going on. We didn't know. They didn't know. So you can understand that their criticisms, they had no idea. But I think the problem is we've become very sensitive and we both have RSD, so rejection sensitive dysphoria, and don't take criticism or failure very well. We have really high expectations of ourselves. We're perfectionists and it's self-induced. We recently took my youngest to an appointment and they said, well, why is he, you know, so worried about failing at his age? Where does this come from? And we said, it's innate. It's just the way he is. He's a perfectionist and he's very anxious and he has to do everything right or he won't do it at all. Both children are like that, but he's just a little bit more extreme. Everything he does is more extreme. And they don't believe us. They think, you know, no, this has come from you. Now, as we are like that, I can understand their reasoning, but this is something that has developed in him, because although we're like that as adults, you know, we're not the same, but when we were children, we were like our children. And I don't know if that's because, again, you're around other people knowing that you're not the same and you don't fit in the same way and you just don't know why. So you unpick yourself and you try to be the best you can be and you try to be perfect, which is impossible. And I think that's why so many of us develop these mental health issues, to be honest with you, and develop trauma from all these interactions, these failed interactions we go through. But in terms of why I'm anxious about the house, I mean, the house is actually looking relatively tidy. It's not too bad. I've kept on top of it really well recently. But it's just little things, like I've just seen that some of the skirting board is really dirty and I'm looping on it because a few weeks ago somebody came over and it was awful and I'd forgotten to do it. And sometimes I think to do things and I get either distracted because, you know, I just have my mind in so many places, or I don't have time, or I might have a flare up with my illness and I don't get round to it. And you can guarantee that you might have thought, right, I'm going to use the skirting board as an example. I'm going to clean that piece of skirting board because it looks really, you know, awful. And somebody will come over before you've had a chance and they will point it out to you. One of the most unhelpful things that I have ever found in my life is people's observations. You know, sorry, I keep saying, you know, and I'm really conscious of it. Oh, I did it again. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try not to keep doing it, but there we go. So many people come and observe. You see them scanning your house and your room and they have to pick something out or point something out. Oh, did you know you could do this? Oh, you know, you should do this. That kind of thing. I can't think of any specific examples and yet there are so, so many. I don't want to be to make it too clear who I'm referring to either, because it's not really very nice on those people, but there are so many people. It could be anyone, to be honest. There've been that many people who come in and say things. But it's really odd because a lot of people I know do not have immaculate homes. They have lived in homes, but there are a handful of people I know who don't have that experience. And then they project onto you that you're doing something wrong. But this is where it links with the children. I'm not making excuses. I have executive dysfunction anyway, and there are so many legitimate reasons why things don't get done at times. But with my children, my youngest in particular, he causes so much mess. He's like a little Tasmanian devil, and he's quite good at tidying when he wants to, but again, you can't kind of force it on him. So I don't want to be critical of the poor child, because he is just wonderful. But he does cause chaos wherever he goes. And everybody has said it. And he's been like this from very, very young. And I find it really hard to keep on top of. My eldest at the moment has a spitting tic. So we have literally in the last few days managed to get him to spit into a bowl that's lined with stuff to collect the spit. It's really horrid. I hate it. It's probably the worst tic he could have. I just feel for him because you can see it take him over and he has no control. But of course, from a house perspective, he is constantly spitting on our hard floors, on our pillows, on our doormat, in the bathroom, on the carpet in the lounge. I don't know if I've said that one already. And he is more so doing it in this bowl now, but up until that point, it was everywhere. And it still is going everywhere, just not to the same degree. And I think somebody walked in and saw some of the spit marks that we hadn't managed to keep on top of yet. And they were like, oh, you know, you need to keep on top of those. But you just feel drained, because what they're not understanding is he's literally spitting every few minutes. And sometimes you'll have like a succession of them, up to 9 or 10 spits. And some of them are massive. And, you know, it's a really disgusting subject, but it's the reality we live in. And sometimes you just can't physically keep on top of it. I've even got my youngest child going around now trying to help us clean them up, because we cannot keep on top of the spit marks. So it's just unhelpful, I think, sometimes. You know, people come in and say, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you've forgotten to do this. And you think, it's not even forgotten sometimes. It is literally, I don't have the chance. And my two children can't be left on their own. I went into the kitchen earlier to go and get their dinner sorted. And I said, right, you guys, you know, gave them some activities to do to keep them occupied. I literally was gone for maybe 2 minutes, and all, you know, you could hear it all kicking off. And people will say, well, that's just kids in general, especially boys. I understand that. But I think sometimes what I can't express is the things they think to do, because they really are so unaware of danger. And, you know, my youngest is very lucky that he didn't hurt himself more than he did today. It could have been really quite a severe injury. And things like that then loop around your mind. You know, I had the audacity to step out for 2 minutes to go and put something in the oven. Or sometimes you have the audacity to go to the toilet, and it's really stressful. You can probably hear in my voice, I feel really emotional. The reason I'm feeling so emotional and drained, I'm just so tired of trying to explain this to people who don't understand, and then who come and give you stress about your house when really is the last thing that you are able to do. I can't leave my children to go hang washing. I'm literally attached to my children, especially when they're together. But in the week, I have my other child here full time, and he's so needy. And today somebody visited to bring some presents around, and I was trying to talk to this individual, and he just cannot tolerate it. And it's, you know, it's getting really difficult. I attend a lot of meetings, and I've been having a lot of issues recently with technology. So I've been just keeping the camera off. And I have to say, I prefer it, actually. And it's quite sad, because in the new year, we'll be expected to rectify the problem and get back on the camera. I love not being on it, because I can kind of pursue other interests while I'm listening or involved in the meeting. And people will say that's not concentrating, but actually the way I concentrate is I have several things on the go at once. And I think that's just an ADHD thing. So, yeah. But the frustration was, I'm in a meeting and he's literally putting his hands over my eyes. He's poking my face. He's scratching me. He's putting his fingers in my ear. He's throwing himself on me, spitting, throwing himself into the couch, getting upset, getting angry. He's very reactive. He might cry. Though, you know, that might just be because he wanted me to look at something and I couldn't respond immediately because I was in a meeting. He gets angry when I have to introduce myself because I have to say the same thing in every meeting. It's just little things like that. So in the new year, I've got to have a real serious think about what I'm going to do moving forward regarding these meetings. But it's so tough, because I joined these meetings because of my experience with him. And as an individual who's obviously late diagnosed autistic, on behalf of our whole family, to be honest with you, I wanted to go and make a difference in this world for other families. Even though I know that it's not going to probably benefit my children, the point was that I can use the experiences we've had to do some good. And that has already happened, and I'm really happy, but I want to continue working in this field. But it's becoming increasingly difficult because he is not coping with it very well. So I think what my long-winded point is, I can't do anything. So when people come here and then criticise things you haven't done in your house, like, oh, I wouldn't have let the washing up build up like that. I mean, I have a dishwasher, so what we tend to do is put it on the side and then we swap it out. But sometimes I might not have had a chance to have unloaded the dishwasher, and then it looks worse than it is. Or maybe I haven't wiped the side down yet. Or maybe I've forgotten to change the towel in the bathroom. That's a common one, because my youngest moves towels all the time. and I'm not sure why he does it, but he always removes them. They end up falling on the floor. And then I don't know where they've gone, or he sometimes puts them in the wash basket. He's got a lot of OCD behaviours and a lot of rituals and things. So it's just one of the things he does. And then, of course, you can just guarantee somebody will come when you don't have the towel, and repeatedly it will be mentioned. And again, it's not a dig at the individuals, but what's the hardest thing for me with the way my mind is, because I'm very fact-driven, and you have to kind of keep your mouth to yourself, because keep your thoughts, sorry, to yourself. Because if you say, actually, no, I didn't think about that, you get poo-pooed. Because if you really thought about it, you would have done it. But people don't realise the reality is, I've got my own issues, but I am consistently and constantly distracted by my children. And they require an awful lot more attention, and they take a lot more of my time and effort than I have seen from children who are not like my children. And so you often get accused as an SEND parent of being a martyr, which we've discussed before, and of kind of whinging and belly aching and somehow trying to make out things worse for you. And I don't think it's a case of worse so much. It's just, it's different, but it is more challenging. And you do have less time to commit to things. And I just think it's such a shame that here I am tonight, I've just put my children to bed, and I am already exhausted at having to think about what is to come next. So, and again, I've had people say, oh, I wouldn't sit down until it was all done, but that's just me, that's my standards. And it's a really hard thing to hear, because again, it's not because I don't want it like that, but also I'm a human being. I get really drained just from my sensory world throughout the course of a day. I am chronically ill, but let's remove that from the situation. Regardless, I do get drained. So to then feel like you're being criticised for not coping with things, and I think, I don't know if this is specific to being neurodivergent or if this is just a human thing, but I think what it is, most of the people around me are neurotypical and don't have problems in the same way I do. So then they apply these things to you that you are somehow deficient. And it's a really tough thing to swallow, to be honest with you. So I have sat down to have a drink, and I thought I'd just record this at the same time. And in the meantime, I'm aware that I still need to go and hoover up, but I now have children in bed and our whole house is open plan. So it's just really, really hard. And then I think the worst part for me is, and I know this is a neurodivergent trait, well, I think it is, because so many people have told me they do it as well. I then have conversations, I predict what is going to be said when the person comes in, so I'm already wound up before they get here. So when people come in and I've already predicted what they're going to say, and pretty much I'm always spot on. So that's obviously a pattern that I've noticed. And I don't know why people have to say anything, but that's just sadly the world we live in. I wouldn't even think to go to someone's house and do that, but that is the world we live in. But when they come in and say the exact same thing that you anticipated or predicted, I find that really tough. And I've learned to kind of go, I'll go do that, or oh yes, just in a minute. But some days I get really defensive. And I get defensive because, again, sometimes people speak to you as though you didn't have the capacity to think of it yourself. And my problem is not about not having the capacity to think of it or see it as an issue. It's the fact that I don't have the ability sometimes to action it for so many reasons. But again, it's not a criticism, because my husband, by contrast, has openly admitted that he doesn't even see it a lot of the time. So I'm not criticising those people who don't have the capacity. It's not, you know, it doesn't matter. But for me, again, I'm a bit of a justice and a truth seeker, and I hate it when people get the wrong idea about things. So it's really, really hard. But it has made me not want to have people over, because I, even if my house is clean and tidy, I know that they will pick at something. And I just think sometimes, do people not stop to think, well, she's got quite a hard existence. And I'm sorry, but that is what it is. It is tough. Our life is tough. As beautiful as we, you know, as much as we love our family and as beautiful as our children are, it is tough. We can't do things other families can. It's just not easy for us, at least not yet. And they are really still small, so we'll see. But you just think sometimes, what planet are people living on? Like, they can see our reality is very different. They can see our children have meltdowns, that they're dysregulated, that we struggle to leave the house. They don't cope well with transitionings and change. They've both struggled at school, but one very, very substantially. and the other one at the moment is being well supported and wants to be there. I have one at home full time. I just don't think this is the same context as a lot of families, and yet you get judged as though you're just less than. And so I think that's why tonight I've spiraled a little bit. You know, I'm there pushing myself to try and get things done, like cleaning the toilets and the bathroom and doing all these things that if I was just left to it, in some sense, I'd probably just sit and relax and just not worry. But whenever you think somebody's coming because of past experience and, again, patterns of behaviour, you expect the criticism. And 9 times out of 10, people don't let you down. They do it. But it's just such a sad world that the world we live in now is so much more consumed with stuff that, to me, is really unimportant. Anyway, that was my little waffly rant this evening. And I know it's not really a podcast, but I just wanted to get my thoughts out and to see if anybody else related and felt the same way, really. And thank you for listening. And we'll catch up soon with some proper podcast content. And if there's anything you'd like us to cover, please do get in touch and we will work on it. Take care.